to Ezekiel chapter 24. Ezekiel chapter 24 is where we will get started together this morning. It is truly a blessing to be here this morning and to get our weeks started off right. It's always good when we can gather together as a church family and worship and serve our Lord together. We have many guests who are here this morning. We really, really appreciate your presence. Thank you all so much for being with us. Before I get started, I also want to express my thanks to you all during my time of loss. I really appreciate all of the cards, all of the text messages, phone calls, and just the love and support that you showered upon me at the passing of my dear aunt. Thank you all so much. Ezekiel chapter 24 is where we will begin. The prophet's wives were something else. I don't know if you've ever just sat back and considered who they were or what they did, but they were truly an interesting bunch of women. If you remember Abraham's wife Sarah, literally laughed at God. Could you imagine the scene? Here you have Sarah, who's this weak, fallible human being, and she's in the presence of God. She's in the presence of the creator of the earth, he who spoke this world into existence, and he who could very well speak this world out of existence, and she literally laughs at him. Sarah laughed at God. And we know that Moses' Cushite wife, his African wife, brought him a tremendous amount of grief and criticism from those who he loved the most. Why was this so? Perhaps because Moses' wife was different than all of the other women around. I don't know, but she brought him a great deal of criticism and grief. We know that Isaiah's wife named her son this. I have absolutely no idea how to pronounce this. I'm not going to try to pronounce this, but this is what Isaiah's wife decided to name her son. We know that the Lord called upon the prophet Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah not to marry. Do not take a wife. Times are so bad. The people are so wicked, I don't want you to take a wife. We know that Hosea's wife was a harlot. God called upon the prophet Hosea, and he essentially told him to go to the red light district. Go to the red light district and find a woman of harlotry. Marry a harlot, have children of harlotry, for the land has committed great immorality. Hosea's wife was a harlot, and we learn in Ezekiel chapter 24 that the prophet Ezekiel's wife was described as the delight of his eyes. She was the apple of his eyes. He loved her. He cared about her. He cherished her. He adored her. But sadly, during a time when it would have been so refreshing to have a wife, during a time when he needed his wife the most, during a time when the wickedness of man was great upon the earth and the Lord was so upset, he was so angry, he was so furious with his people that he was set to destroy them, during a time when Ezekiel would have needed his wife the most, the word of the Lord comes to him and says in Ezekiel chapter 24 in verse number 16, "Son of man, behold, I am about to take the delight of your eyes away from you at a stroke. Yet you shall not mourn or weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh, but not aloud. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind on your turban and put your shoes on your feet. Do not cover your lips nor eat the bread of men." So, verse 18, "So I spoke to the people in the morning and at evening my wife died. How sad. How tragic. How heartbreaking is this? During a time when it would have been incredibly refreshing. Incredibly refreshing to come home. To come home after a long day of prophesying to a wicked and godless people. It would have been so incredibly refreshing to come home after a long day of prophesying to a wicked and godless people, to a loving, to a beautiful woman who was the delight of his eyes. That would have been so nice. But sadly, during this time, Ezekiel did not have such a woman to come home to. Sadly, during this time, the Lord took away the delight of his eyes. But not only that, not only did Ezekiel's wife die, but when she died, God, the Lord of all creation, this loving, this gracious, this caring God, tells him, Ezekiel, when your wife dies, I don't want you to grieve. I don't want you to mourn. I don't want you to lament. I don't want you to be upset. I want you to act as though everything is okay. Ezekiel, when your wife dies, I want you to exude a speechless sorrow. Could you imagine? Could you imagine losing the delight of your eyes? Could you imagine losing your wife? Losing your husband, losing your child, losing a friend, losing someone who you love oh so much? And then God telling you, hey, when you lose your spouse, when you lose your child, when you lose your dear beloved friend, I don't want you to cry. I don't want you to mourn. I don't want you to walk around with your head down. I don't want you to act as though you were sad. I want you to act as if everything is okay. I want you to exude a speechless sorrow. Could you imagine? This was Ezekiel's reality. And so this morning, as we consider this scene in the life of Ezekiel, we ask ourselves the question, why? Why in the world? Why in the world did this happen? Why did this faithful man of God have to lose his wife? Why did this faithful man of God lose the delight of his eyes? And why? And why was it that the Lord called upon him and said, Ezekiel, when you lose your wife, I don't want you to grieve. I don't want you to mourn. I don't want you to lament. I want you to act as though everything is okay. When you lose your wife, I want you to exude a speechless sorrow. Why? Why in the world was this so? In Ezekiel chapter 24, the children of Israel ask the same question. In Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse number 18, after the prophet receives this devastating news, he says that he spoke to the people in the morning, and at evening his wife died. And on the next morning I did as I was commanded. And the people said to me, will you not tell us what these things mean for us that you are acting thus? Ezekiel! Why in the world is this happening? Why in the world has your wife died? And why in the world are you acting this way? How come you're not crying? How come you're not mourning? How come you have bound on your turban? How come you have put shoes on your feet? How come your mouth is not closed? How come you have not eaten the bread of the bereaved? How come you are exuding this speechless sorrow? Why is the question? Why are these things happening? Ezekiel responds to the people in verse number 20. The text says in Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse number 20, the prophet speaking, then I said to them, the word of the Lord came to me, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the delight of your eyes, and the yearning of your soul, and your sons and your daughters whom you left behind shall fall by the sword. And, verse 22, you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips, nor eat the bread of men. Your turbans shall be on your heads and your shoes on your feet. You shall not mourn or weep, but you shall rot away in your iniquities and groan to one another. Thus, verse 24, thus shall Ezekiel be to you a sign according to all that he has done. You shall do. When this comes to pass, you will know that I am the Lord. Here in Ezekiel chapter 24, the people are asking Ezekiel, why are these things happening to you? How come your wife has died and why are you behaving this way? Ezekiel tells the people, these things are happening to me. My wife has died and I am behaving this way because God is trying to get your attention. God is trying to get your attention. You have been rebellious, you have been wicked, you have turned your backs on the Lord, and now he is about to punish you. The temple will soon be destroyed, the walls will soon be smashed, the splendor will be gone, and the delight of your eyes will be stripped away from you, just as my wife was stripped away from me. Consider your ways. Repent of your sins and return to the Lord. The question that we are asking ourselves this morning is, why? Why did these things happen to Ezekiel? These things happened to Ezekiel so that he would be a sign to the people. God was using Ezekiel's life and his circumstances to get the nation's attention. Today is September the 26th, 2021. And death, just as it did during the days of Ezekiel, is still a means by which the Lord gets our attention. Death has an ugly way of getting our attention. When someone dies, we are overwhelmed. When someone dies, we are struck. When someone dies, we are traumatized. When someone dies, we wake up. We wake up and we realize the brevity of life. We realize that life is but a handbreadth. We realize that life is but a vapor. It appears for just a little while and it vanishes away. We realize that all of us have an expiration date. When someone dies, we realize that these bodies that we are in will not last forever. Death has an ugly way of getting our attention. Over the past few months, death has been on my mind a whole lot. Many of you know the preacher in Columbia, Tennessee, Matt Basford. The preacher and the hymn writer, Matt Basford. 42 years old. Diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. A preacher friend of mine who too lives in Columbia, Tennessee, or I'll say lived in Columbia, Tennessee. 34 years old, Kyle Harris, was out rock climbing, fell 100 feet to his demise. September the 9th, was the 6-year anniversary of my mother's death. She passed away at the age of 52. September the 9th, 2021, many of you know that Dee Bowman passed away. On September the 11th, our nation observed the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, where thousands and thousands of people died. On September 11th, 2021, my aunt passed away from COVID-19 at the age of 54. And just a few days ago, about 30 minutes away from this church building in Collierville, Tennessee, a lone gunman enters into a Kroger's grocery store and traumatizes several people, injures 14 people, and at the end of the day, two lives were lost. Death. Death has an ugly way of getting our attention. And I'm not special. I am not special. My circumstances are no different than your circumstances. There have been people in your life who have passed on. There have been friends. There have been relatives. There have been parents. There have been children that all of you all have lost. And it is tragic. It is sad, and it is heartbreaking, and it is shocking and surprising anytime someone dies. For death has an ugly way of getting our attention. And so this morning, as we consider Ezekiel chapter 24, and as we consider this concept of death, again, the question that we ask ourselves is, why? Why is death so shocking? Why is death so traumatizing? And how come death has this ugly way of getting our attention? Point number one, death is so shocking because death is no respecter of persons. Death is no respecter of persons. It is something that happens to all. Ezekiel was a faithful man of God living in an ungodly world. He was doing the will of God. He was proclaiming the message of God to a people, telling the people to repent and do better. Ezekiel's wife, his wife was likely a faithful woman of God, for she was the apple of his eye. But in spite of Ezekiel's faithfulness and in spite of his wife's faithfulness, Ezekiel lost his wife and his wife died because death is no respecter of persons. Good people die and bad people die. Rich people die, poor people die. Educated people die, uneducated people die. Young people die and old people die. We bury dead people. Why? Why? How come we all die? Because all of us have sinned. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. Every single person on this earth has sinned. And sadly, the wages of sin, the result of our sins is death. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto all once to die. Death is no respecter of persons. Death did not respect Ezekiel. Death did not respect Ezekiel's wife. And death will not respect you or I. All of us will die. Death is so shocking because death is no respecter of persons. And death is so shocking because death is something that happens suddenly. None of us can prepare for death. There is absolutely no one who knows the day that he or she will die. In Ezekiel chapter 24, the Lord called upon the prophet Ezekiel and he says, Ezekiel, your wife is going to die. Your wife will die with a stroke. Some translations say with one blow. These words connote the idea that Ezekiel's wife would die suddenly. And she did. The text says that the next day his wife died. Ezekiel was minding his own business. He was doing the will of the Lord. He was doing everything that God had asked him to do. And then suddenly the word of the Lord comes upon him and says, Ezekiel, your wife is going to die. He didn't expect that to happen. None of us know when we are going to die. I'm sure those people who went into that grocery store just a few days ago had no idea. They had no idea that they were walking into a shootout. I'm sure the one who died had no idea that was his last day on this earth. I'm sure my friend who was out rock climbing had no idea that was his last time going rock climbing. I'm sure my aunt had no idea that she would die this year. Death is so shocking because death is sudden. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 12, the wise preacher Solomon says, "For man does not know his time. Like fish that are taken in an evil net and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them." None of us know when this time will suddenly fall upon us. None of us know the time when we will suddenly pass away from this life. None of us know the time when we will suddenly meet our Maker, when we will suddenly step into eternity and we will either be met by pain or peace. None of us, absolutely none of us know when that time will come. That is why death is such a shocking thing. Death is shocking because it is no respecter of persons. Death is shocking because it is something that happens suddenly. And death is so shocking because it raises our curiosity. We begin to ask questions when someone we love passes on. In Ezekiel chapter 24, when Ezekiel's wife died, the children of Israel are asking the prophet, "Tell us what these things mean. Why is this happening to you, and why are you responding this way?" When people die, we ask questions. September 11, 2001, when those planes flew into all of those buildings, we were asking questions. Why did this happen? Who did it? Who's alive? Who is dead? When my friend fell off of the cliff, how long was it until he hit the ground? What was going through his mind when he was falling? When your loved one, who is a good person, but they weren't baptized for the remission of their sins, passes on, are they in heaven or are they in hell? When your loved one who was baptized for the remission of their sins passes on, are they in heaven with the Lord? Are they in paradise? Or is their spirit simply resting until the coming of the Lord? We consider our own mortality. Am I ready to meet my Maker? Am I prepared? Am I ready to meet the Lord? Death causes us to ask questions. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 1, "The righteous man perishes and no one lays it to heart. Devout men are taken away while no one understands." Oftentimes when people die, we don't understand why. And so when our dear loved ones pass on from this life, may our hearts and our minds be drawn to the throne of God. Yes, death is surprising. Yes, it is shocking. Yes, it is overwhelming. Yes, it is often very traumatizing. But when death happens, if our hearts, our minds, and our attention is focused on the Lord, we will find a tremendous amount of peace, comfort, and satisfaction knowing that we serve a God who loves us, we serve a God who cares about us, we serve a God who will protect us, and we serve a God who is willing and ready to take us home and be with Him for all eternity. In Ezekiel chapter 24, after Ezekiel's wife died, the children of Israel began asking questions. "Ezekiel, why is this happening to you and why are you responding this way?" "This is happening to me and I'm responding this way because God is trying to get your attention. God is trying to get you to see your sin, see your faults, and return to Him. God wants you to see Him throughout all of this." In Isaiah chapter 6, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, the text says in verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, the king was dead. The king had passed on. There was no more king at that time. In the year that King Uzziah died, the passage says that the prophet saw the Lord. He saw the Lord seated on his throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and above him stood these seraphim who were all giving praise, glory, and honor to God. In the year of King Uzziah's death, Isaiah's heart, his mind, and his attention was focused on the Lord. In Matthew chapter 27, Christ has just breathed his last breath. He has died. The veil of the temple was spontaneously torn in two. Rocks were split, tombs were open, and dead men rose. Dead men rose and began preaching the word of God. And the centurion who saw all of this said, "Truly, truly, this was the Son of God." Jesus had died, and those centurions' hearts, their mind, and their attention was focused on the Lord. The point that I'm trying to make to you this morning is, when death happens, may our hearts, our minds, and our attention be focused on God. I know it is sad. I know that it is heartbreaking. I know that it is overwhelming. I know that it is never a good thing when the delight of your eyes is stripped away from you, when someone who you love so much is taken away from this earth. It is awful. It is a tragedy. But when we focus on God, when we realize that God is the potter and we are the clay, when we realize that all power is in His hands, when we realize that He loves us so much, He loves us so much that He sent His Son to this earth so that we could have eternal life, we'll have the joy, the hope, and the comfort that we need, knowing that He will return one day. He will return, a trumpet will sound, an archangel will shout, and the Lord will descend from heaven with the cry of command. And the text says that the dead in Christ will rise first. And if we want to be among those who rise to be with the Lord for all of eternity, then we're going to pray every single day, just as the prophet Moses did in Psalm 90, that the Lord will bless us with a heart of wisdom, a heart of wisdom. Lord, teach me to number my days so that I will be wise, so that I will have understanding, so that I will live my life in service and devotion to you. That will be our prayer. That's going to be our mindset. That's going to be our attitude, because we know when we live that way, when we serve the Lord, when we trust the Lord, we will be with Him for all eternity. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face, the heart is made glad." By sadness of face, the heart is made glad. Why? Why is the question? Our hearts are made glad when we focus on God in moments of despair. When our friends and our loved ones are taken away from us, if we focus on God, God can turn that pain into peace. He can turn that sorrow into rejoicing. He can turn that tragedy into a triumph. If you're here this morning, the greatest question that you must consider is, am I ready? Am I ready to go? Am I ready to die? Am I ready to meet my Maker? God sent His Son to this earth from 42 generations so that you could be ready. God sent His Son to this earth to suffer, to die, and to rise so that one day you may rise. Yes, this fleshly body will be destroyed. None of us will live in the flesh forever. But one day, if we live our lives with our hearts and our minds focused on the Lord, these corruptible bodies will be changed. These corruptible bodies will be changed into something that is incorruptible, and we will live with the Lord for all eternity. For that to happen, you must obey the gospel. Hear about Jesus. Believe that he is truly the Son of God. Confess his name before all men and have your sins washed away in baptism, rising forth, walking, living every single day in newness of life. If you've done that before, but you've made mistakes and you are not living for Jesus, then this is the perfect opportunity to get right with the Lord. Because as we considered this morning, you don't know when your last breath will be. And if you want to be ready, then you're going to live a life that is devoted to the Lord. If we can help you in any spiritual way this morning, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.